My biggest pivot was when I made myself the priority. I feel like since then, it's been an upward trajectory. That's the message that I like to try to give to the youth, especially the black youth, because I feel like the way that we come up and the way that we're raised is so much survivor's guilt instilled in us from an early age. You feeling bad about making it because all the other people around you not making it, or you got a lot of people to help out. And what that does for a lot of us is it creates some type of inertia. It becomes too heavy of a burden, and you actually don't get nowhere because you pour from this empty cup. Once I started pouring more inward, not only did I have more to share with others, I never get dehydrated now. You know what I'm saying? If you're not good, nothing that you do or create can be great. Like, you gotta take care of you first. And that's with everything. That's with parenting. That's with career. That's with love. You gotta make sure you in a state where you can provide and nurture for self before you provide and nurture for others in the world.
Salute to Joey Badass, man. Like, make yourself a priority. It's a beautiful thing to see that brother realizes that at a young age, because it took me some time to realize that. Make myself a priority. I used to prioritize other things. I used to want to see other people win. I used to want my family members to come along with me on the route of life that God has for me. But that wasn't the case. You know, life is short, man, and you got to appreciate every moment, because moments come, moments go, but you just got to appreciate them, dog. On this episode, we're going to be talking about something that Nelly trended for this week, the toughest era in hip hop. I got to start the podcast off with that conversation. We got to talk about the State of the Union also, because just 5, 6, 7 years ago, I could care less about politics, but I see the part that it plays in my life and in the people that I love life now that I'm educated on the conversation and the topic, because government, it's important, man. Folks think it's all about race, though, but government and laws control and run everything. We also got to talk about the interview on Shannon Sharp platform. It was a great conversation, but I didn't like to see Steve Stout like talk about certain people in the way that he did. Andrew Schultz, he went viral also talking about Meek Mill and his comedy skit in Philadelphia. In Meek Mill hometown, it was crazy, man. You know, this episode is Trevor's thoughts about music, society, and change. And we about to have this discussion. Let's go!
Jackson podcast.
So Nelly was trending this week because he said his era was the toughest era in hip hop. Now, the 80s, hip hop was just getting started. It was just forming. The 90s, they was creating a lot of quality music, and individuals was just happy to be a part of the culture and releasing music. The 2000s, it was a different thing. That's when I think the genre of hip hop took over. Just my perspective. But let's hear Nelly's take.
Coming from the Lou, did you ever have chip on your shoulder? Because everything was, yeah. LA, New York. Goddamn, we always talk about that with the Midwest, Mav. Like,
goddamn right.
Yeah.
Goddamn right. But you got to understand, my era of music was the toughest era in hip hop ever. Ever. When I put out songs, I had to go against DMX,
Eminem,
Jay-Z, Eminem, Lil Wayne, 50 Cent, Luda.
Nah,
yeah. All of us are fighting
yeah,
for one spot.
The key word in that conversation that a lot of people are trying to remove out of it is that we all were fighting for one spot. We all were fighting for the number one spot. We all wanted to be at the top. And that was the era in hip hop where the genre of hip hop became the number one genre of music in the world. The 90s, for nostalgic purposes, it was my favorite. I'm not going to lie to you. It was my favorite. That's when UGK, 8-Ball, MJG was doing their thing. But for competitive reasons, the only thing about the 90s that was competitive was Bad Boy and Death Row. Hip hop was not even the dominant genre in the 90s. To me, personally, pop was doing their thing. But R&B was the dominant genre. We might call Mariah Carey pop, but the pop music that she was making was R&B music. The Mary J. Blige's. You had the Ushers. You had Tony. You had Boys to Men doing numbers. You had Jodeci. You had these people that was dominating music more than rappers. So rappers couldn't even get to the top spot. Rappers was just happy to be able to release music in the 90s. That's just my perspective. Now, when the 2000s came and you had artists like Eminem going diamond, Lil Wayne, a million in a week, Nelly going diamond, 50 Cent going diamond, everything Jay-Z dropped, platinum, Nas, Stillmatic, platinum, Fabulous, platinum. You had a plethora of artists coming out that was platinum. Nelly, diamond. That era was the most dominant era for the numbers wise. It put hip hop in a place to where hip hop was the dominant genre. That's just my perspective. Now, if y'all disagree with me, educate me in the comment section and tell me why y'all think that I'm wrong or why y'all think that Nelly is wrong. Now, I was listening to Tank speak today. I just got this clip today. And I'm going to give y'all my top three after I play the clip of what Tank got to say.
Crazy about it, though, is then she collaborated with Fab and it did not lose the emotion
it
of the song.
It did not lose the emotion.
That is a good record. Fab may be the best R&B rap collaborator. I can't get the motherfucking word out.
Right. Well, Lil Mo.
That's collaboration.
Yep.
Of all time.
Of all times.
I'm collaborator.
Nobody raps on R&B better than Fabulous.
I'm willing to agree with that.
Nobody.
I will have to agree with that also. I know I'm playing clips that I agree with right now and at the beginning of the podcast. I'm going to disagree with some things also, but I'm just playing things that caught my attention this week. Now, Fabulous, he does his thing when it comes to R&B records. When it comes to featuring on R&B records. So I was about to say that Jay-Z is up there because the song with Maya, he has features on a couple of more records. But if I had to put a top three out there, Wale is up there. Wale is close to Fabulous when it comes to collaborating with R&B artists as a rapper. To me, that's just my perspective. Number three, I will have to say Mace. Even though he hasn't done anything in a while, he's not consistent when it comes to featuring on records or whatever. But Mace has legendary features on R&B songs. I just listened to a record recently on the Suit album with Nelly where Mace killed it. Mace was hot at one point in time. And should we include Mace in that perspective that Nelly had in the 2000s, or is Mace the 90s? Just hit me out in the comment section. Is Mace the 90s? So I was thinking about like hip hop as a whole, hip hop culture, period. And the state of hip hop right now. Now, we talked about eras in hip hop. The era that we're living in today is a crazy era because over 300,000 records and albums are released daily through streaming services. So we're in a weird place from my point of view. And I want to talk about some things that is pertaining to the investors of hip hop, the people who fund the people that come from impoverished communities and make them rich, and why they do what they do, why they allow these people to become rich, and why we should view certain people that we view in a negative light differently. Let's go.
How do you feel about your culture and what they do with music?
I think it's a part of it. It's a part, and I've talked about this on my show. Who owns these record label companies? Who signs a Sexy Red? You can go out and you can get any artist in the world based on their talent. Why is that when you come to Black America, you want to platform someone like Sexy Red when it used to be you platform people like Lauryn Hill? This is intentional. This is intentional because, you know, as Confucius said, Chinese philosopher said that, you know, what is in your ears will eventually be what surrounds you, right? Music is very powerful.
Yeah. I heard a saying that music doesn't need an invitation to your soul.
You That's a great way of saying
into it.
Yeah,
and you are who you hang out with. But if you're just listening to it all the time, and I always got confused. I could never have said it because I'm not Black. But if I had an Assyrian culture, and all they did was make money off of belittling my people, I would not pay money for it. I'd be like, yo, what are you doing? You switch sides on us. Like, why would you make it out, quote, and then shit where you came from? Why don't you come grab us and like build us out? Do you ever get scared of speaking the way you speak?
No.
You know, they say biblically, or they don't say, but in the Bible, the devil was the conductor of music in heaven before he got kicked out. Music is like the easiest form to get into the people's mind, to control society, to control people's mind. We're going through a time to where music is changing and people are listening to podcasts more. People are not watching television more. People are not listening to music as much because I heard Dick Gregory say one time, why would I want to listen to a person's feelings and perspectives and negative light all day long? I just listen to instrumentals. Now, as I age, I don't want to hear certain things and certain music no more because it doesn't bring me no value. It doesn't. But people will invest in music and make certain people hot so that they can control the mind of the masses and they can be able to sell the product that they're selling. But Joe Budden was on his podcast talking about music recently. He was talking about how the female hip hop wave is over with. And he went viral for that. And he responded to that in a way that was interesting to me because music as a whole may be over with.
I think all of your favorite artists are finito and finished. I don't think none of these people are making any coin from the music business. I think there's a focus on streaming, AI. I think there's a focus on just replacing you guys, the
human
artists.
Beings, right?
Yeah. The artists. The way albums don't drop anymore tells me that. All of you artists getting your money from somewhere else tells me that. Last year, no number one hip hop album for however long tells me that.
Six, seven
the
months.
Number ones that came tells me that. Travis, Uzi, Drake. There's only seven. There's seven rappers that they focus on. Some because y'all are truly talented and make people all the money in the world. Some because too many people have their hand in your pocket to let you fail. But everybody else If you're not getting it touring, or if you're not getting it through other means, this music shit is a rap.
You know, people will hate to hear that because they want to see their son make it in hip hop. People still have dreams to make it in hip hop. People still want other individuals. They want a deal. They want a deal so they can get out of the situation and the circumstances and the lifestyle that they're in. Now, when I listen to that, I look at the landscape of hip hop. People say that Glorilla making money, Yo Gotti making money, Memphis is the hottest city in hip hop. Detroit, you got 42 Doug, you got these artists over here, you got these artists over here. But when I think about it in totality, when we talked about at the top of the podcast, Nelly and those artists in the 2000s, Joe Budden is from the 2000s, when hip hop was making real money. Hip hop is not the dominant genre of music no more. You see people wanting to convert to country. You see Beyonce wanting to convert to country. Hip hop is dying and it's almost dead. And I hate to say that. And not just hip hop, music as a whole is dying. The reason I say that is because people are conforming to different forms of audio entertainment. People are listening to podcasts more. Now, I still release records because I'm passionate about it. I'm very passionate about it. I can release a podcast that might do more numbers and more streams than my music will do in a whole year, just one episode. One episode. On the audio platform, my podcast is going crazy on the streams. And thank y'all for that, man. Thank you. I just want to say thank you. It's like I could release music and it'll do five digit streams. It'll do 50, 60, 70,000 streams. I could release a podcast, one episode that'll do the same thing as 14 to 15 songs. It's just, I would tell people who's interested in creating music to do it as something that you love. But make sure you keep the business aspect in the back of your mind. Make sure you get your LLCs. Make sure you pay your taxes on your music. Make sure that you look at it as a business, not no friendship thing. But don't do it to be famous. If you want to be famous though. Or attempt to be famous, but be passionate about it. Do it because it's something that you love. For real. Now, I'm going to switch the topic up and talk about a hip-hop exec. I was looking at Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay. He had Steve Stout on there. Steve Stout took him to the hood, man. Queensbridge. Salute to Nas. Salute to Jungle. Man, I remember listening to Jungle and the Bravehearts and Nas on the QB Finest albums and all of that. And Jungle a real one. Nas' brother Jungle is a real one. I salute to him. Like, people will say that was a whole bunch of foolishness going on when they was introing the episode with Steve Stout. And they took Shannon Sharp to the hood. Shannon Sharp was looking nervous and all of that. But that's not Shannon Sharp's normal environment. Steve Stout, he talked about 50 Cent, Jay-Z, Ja Rule. He talked about going to get Nas and getting Nas out of his deal with Columbia Records and all of that old type of stuff. Nas is the GOAT to me personally. But at the end of the day, Steve Stout is a businessman and Nas is the only person that I can put on his resume as assisting to reach the next level. I know it's allegations out that he's been slapped by Diddy. He's been slapped by Dame Dash. He talked bad about Dame Dash in this episode because of what the world already know about Dame Dash and how Rockefeller Records broke up and stuff. And when he said what he had to say, I was thinking, why is he saying this at the moment?
Game wouldn't change. The way he spoke to people, the way he treated people, he was angry.
About what? Bro, you getting paper.
He was angry because he had a strong perspective about his business philosophy. And if any time a partner of theirs tried to, like, go around him or... meanwhile, people weren't going around him. The people around him wanted to meet with other people.
Right.
People were becoming less beholden to him. But he was unaware of it. Then he would go off all around the world with cameras and girls and all kinds of crazy shit, and then come back flipping out on everybody as if, you know,
they were wrong.
Yeah. Or like, why'd you guys do all this shit without me? Like, bro, you didn't build a business that was so operationally tight that you could just go away and come back and shit be the same and all that shit. It wasn't even like that. Jay grew up, you know, Jay wanted more. I think Jay seen Dame's ceiling. I mean, I think that's really what it was.
Trevor Jackson Podcast.
You know, a lot of people come on YouTube and on podcasts and interview platforms and talk crazy about Dame Dash. I've spoke about some of the things that Dame Dash done that put him in peculiar situations. But I want to shoot Dame Dash some bail this time, because Dame Dash is a person that put people in position. Him, Biggs, and Jay-Z created Rockefeller Records. Dame Dash was the person who signed Kanye to Rockefeller Records. Benny Siegel and State Property to Rockefeller Records. A lot of the employees at Rock Nation are people that Dame Dash employed and put in position. He put people on. He put people on. He may not done right by people. He may been a person that you can't get jiggy with. You might not like the way he present himself, the way he talks and all of that type of stuff. But he put people in position that may not have deserved those positions that he put them in. One point in time, Currency, Wiz Khalifa, all of those artists, Big Crit, when they was underground, Dame Dash assisted them and gave them game. Dame Dash comes on YouTube and gives people game. He went on Math Hoffa's podcast about a rapper. If y'all don't know who Math Hoffa is, or if y'all do, I ain't trying to belittle y'all, whatever. He went on Math Hoffa's podcast and gave him a viral moment because of the things that he said. Dame Dash may not be the best person to be in business with. He may be a taste that you don't like, but Dame Dash put people on. And I really can't say the same for the people that talks bad about him.
It only exists because of toxic behavior. They take advantage of the dysfunction of our culture. So the more and also this thing, like, now you'll sign an artist, and if he dies, you're gonna make more money.
More money, yeah.
Because of the insurance. So it's just, you could just tell, like, for me, if I see a kid that's making music about shit that's gonna get him killed because he's really doing it, I don't think I'm putting any records out. Mm. I'm not gonna enable that child. I'm not gonna, like, when I look at, you know, young Thug, I'm like, yo, Leon and them just made a big check and he's going to jail. They made money off his music. So if they made money off that music and he's in jail for that, then all that money they made off the music should not go to them. Like, how did they get to get all that money and he has to get a jail cell? And they made money off the music that's putting him in jail.
What's crazy is that Candace Owens talked about the record labels used to invest in, like, a Lauryn Hill. Now they invest in a Sexy Red. The record labels invested in Young Thug. They want to invest in an artist like me. They will invest in the dysfunction of our culture because it's profitable. They will put insurance out on an artist and reap a benefit when you're dead and gone because they don't expect you to live. They expect you to go to jail or die because of the way you're living your life. The dysfunction of our culture. He talks about things like that. I remember the book when I first moved from home, my hometown. I rode from my hometown all the way to where I'm located at now, listening to the Culture Vultures book by Dame Dash. What I just played on the screen just now, he talks about in that book the whole time how people will invest in the dysfunction of our culture. Our culture is dysfunctional, but it's profitable to people who have the money already because that's what y'all want to see. Y'all do not want to be educated. People do not want to learn nothing new. People want to embrace the dysfunction. Now, I'm going to take a break in the podcast and play one of my records to promote the podcast. But I'm here with y'all today. I got a lot of game to kick. I might not even master this episode because I got a lot of things to talk about. And I appreciate y'all for tuning in. But let's get it.
If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. I had to change my mental. Upgrade my credentials. How a nigga came up, it wasn't accidental. Now monumental, more like legendary. A player never worry, bump and pop. Hail Mary trapped off a Blackberry. Ain't contrary to your belief. I made it out them streets, don't acknowledge beef. Kept the play discreet, we too unique. On a winning streak, spent a couple racks at the boutique. I wouldn't change nothing, I'm always me. Never took a plea, nigga, you a flea. I'm your OG's OG. He called me for inspiration. Need a consultation, just make the payment for the conversation. If it's elevated or innovation, my expectation ain't limitation. You need a demonstration. My track record and reputation should be admiration. That's confirmation. I'm decoration for the trenches, off the benches, jump the fences, no penny pinching. We off the hinges, hit the shot. My team winning the series, clinching. You niggas finished. Never timid. I've been a menace. No old dog, and every day is printed. Haters living cause my life changed. Should be happy, but you a real lame. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing.
Back at it, y'all. What's popping? What's popping? You know, if you scroll down on the channel about two or three episodes, I talked about immigration and how it's affecting our nation, how it's affecting the black community, how it's affecting the middle class, the working class, and what can we do about it? What should we do about it? And how the government leaders are not doing nothing about it and how they're profiting from it. Now, I was listening to Piers Morgan the other day, and he had an artist from the 2000s that we're all familiar with. He's a successful artist also. The media is still instigating beef also. The media is lying to us. Now, this artist who I'm about to talk about, I'm going to play this clip. He caught a gun charge 15 years ago. And he's not allowed in the UK. He's not allowed in the UK to do shows, to not create a tour, to not make money. because they have rules and regulations for you to be allowed in their country. But we don't. Anybody can come in our country. Criminals. People that want to harm you, want to harm your children, are allowed in this country. And we don't have borders. And it's just crazy to me.
So he was obviously thrilled that you weren't allowed into this country. What's your response to 50 Cent?
I think I responded. I'm cool, you know. I don't get into the back and forth, you know.
I think you did it to
all that back and forth on the internet.
Well, called him.
So I'm cool.
You called him N-word. You pussy. Shut up.
It was quick and to the point.
Yeah, I mean, you two have been going at it 25 years now.
You know, not me actually. You know, I'm cool, Pierce. I don't, like I said, I don't get into. I really don't do social media like that at all. You know, I post.
You see how Ja Rule don't want to talk about that. You know, but he's instigating the beef though. Ja Rule saying he don't even do social media. But listen to Pierce.
I mean, you told Vlad TV, I hate the fact that every time I do an interview, he has to get brought up in my interview. I hate we're connected in that way. We really have nothing in common. Yeah. Other than from the same neighborhood, which is obviously Queens in New York. I'm a stand-up N-word. You can say it. I can't. He's not.
So if y'all don't understand what's going on, it's that 50 Cent trolled Ja Rule for not being able to get into the UK to do his tour. And Piers Morgan is instigating 25-year-old beef.
I mean, you got to kind of beef from where we from to understand. The terminologies of that, but you know, it's some of the things that I spoke about earlier. You know, those are real man things. You know, taking care of your family, taking care of your kids. You know, putting your kids through college. You know, being a real father to your family and your children. But you know, those are stand up things. You know, so in that aspect, you know, I'm very, very stand up.
And why is he not stand up by comparison?
I mean, Pierce, you're a pretty smart man. I'm assuming you probably know the answer to that question.
Well, I've known 50 Cent a long time. Yeah. I personally interviewed him several times. Always got on fine with him. But you guys have had this thing going for a quarter of a century, and it's interesting to me that you know.
Well, next time you interview him, Pierce, ask him these questions about me.
Well, I will, but just when I do interview him, I want to better say to him, Ja Rule says you're not a stand-up guy because. Fill that sentence for me.
Yeah. Well, he knows. You know, he knows.
Yeah, but I don't.
He knows. Well, that's okay. You're not supposed to, Piers.
But you can give me some meat on the bone. Give me some bit of the beef bone.
Listen, Piers, I'm not here to talk about this. I'm here to talk about my tour, my UK fans that I love, and how we're going to, you know, spin this situation into a great one for them and bring them this tour. So that's the gist of what I'm trying to do and what I'm doing. So.
But if he's watching...
I don't worry about what he's talking about.
If he's watching this interview...
You heard that. He came to speak to a man that's from that area to talk about why he's not allowed to be into their country to perform. And all he could talk about was the negative with the beef and 50 Cent.
Who would win if you had a fight?
That's happened already too, Piers. So
really?
You got to do your research, man.
Well, I did a bit of research. I knew that various members of your gangs had traded, but you've actually had a physical fight with him, have you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who won?
Absolutely. Yeah. I did, Piers. Come on.
Really?
Man. I'm done, Piers. Are you asking all these crazy questions, man? Like
the Trevor Jackson Podcast.
That's foolishness, man. What I think about when I heard that is Tupac and Biggie. How in this era, while we control the media, we could have prevented that from happening. Because if you let people not from your culture, I'm not going to bash nobody. But Piers Morgan was reaching so he could get a viral moment. People reaching to get a viral moment to get you out of character. Ja Rule and 50 Cent are almost 50 years old. And y'all still talking about something that happened when they was in their 20s. It's foolishness. We got to stop valuing their platforms and come to platforms and elevate platforms that care about you. The conversation that Ja Rule was having could have been better on my platform. It may not have got the views and the likes, and it may not have reached the UK like I would on Piers Morgan, but his point would have been respected. It would have been accepted, and it would have been appreciated. And when you go on their platforms, they don't even want to talk about what you're talking about or what you come to talk about. They want to get a viral moment. Now we switching the topic. Diddy was still in the news this week. Still in the news. He was accused of shooting the lady that Shine did 10 years for.
I'll tell you why that's of utmost importance to me. Because I am the woman who he shot in the face in that 1999, December 27th, 1999, Club New York shooting. I have told everyone ad nauseum since then, even the surgeon who did the surgery to take the bullet. I got shot in my face with a 9 millimeter hollow point bullet called a cop killer. I literally have told everyone and never changed what I said. I watched him. I got pow-powed in the face. I watched him fire the gun. I've said it all this time. Even the surgeon who did my surgery to take out part of the bullet fragments that was aspirating into my lungs and try to remove as many bullet fragments as possible, testified in the criminal trial that while they were putting me under, I was screaming, Puffy, pew pew me in the face. He testified in the criminal trial. It is in the record. They all knew he did it. Everybody knew he did it. But he paid off the club bouncer named Charisse and all these other people and the club owners with their video to hide the video. That's his MO. I told everybody that. This man almost took my life, has traumatized my life, has caused undue harm, irreparable damage to my life, lied his behind off. I've had all these youngins on the internet harassing me, swearing that I'm making it up that he did it. And look what he did to Little Rock.
Hey, man. Y'all noticed that she didn't say Puffy shot me in the face. Y'all noticed that 1999, it's 2024, it's 25 years later. She already settled in court. Why are you mentioning this now? And it may be true, but you settle for the bag. When you settle for the bag instead of fighting, I don't know her life or the circumstances that she was dealing with and why she had to settle for the bag. I'm dealing with things in life. We all dealing with things in life. But would you settle for the bag if somebody wronged you? We see that a lot in the black community, and we see that a lot when people wrong us. When George Floyd got killed and they settled for the millions of dollars. When she got shot in the face by Diddy, but he got away with it because she settled for the bag. would you settle for the bag, or would you want to see someone get convicted and not get a bag at all? Me, I'm going to fight to the end, dog. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be dealing with what you're going to be dealing with regardless, with the bag or without the bag. Now, before I get into the politics conversation, I want to talk about Andrew Schultz roasting Meek Mill in Philadelphia. Meek Mill has been exposed. I like his music. I want to do a review of his latest EP because Meek Mill makes quality music. He got hits. But he's been exposed. Drake came to his hometown and dissed him. Andrew Schultz, a comedian. I've been listening to Andrew Schultz and Charlamagne podcast, The Brilliant Idiots, for a decade. Most people might not even know what The Brilliant Idiots is because it's not what the black community may gravitate to. But Andrew Schultz, I seen him come from the ground to where he's at today. He's a phenomenal comedian. And at this moment in time in comedy, he's a top five comedian in the world.
I was very happy. I was like, Meek Mill. Yes, it was. I'll be honest with you. I don't think Meek is gay. I do not think Meek is gay. But he is incredibly bad at proving he's straight. He is maybe the worst in history at doing that. When someone accuses you of being gay, you don't get on Twitter and go, I'm a pussy so much, it's so juicy and wet. It's my favorite thing. That's how you know I love women. He tweeted that and I was like, oh, he thinks that's disgusting. And you know who else thinks that's disgusting? The gays. Nah, but shout out Meek, bro. Shout out Meek, man. He's done a lot of amazing things with prison reform, right? Getting all them gay dudes out so he can suck their dicks. Powerless. Bunch of fine.
He said, boy, he doing prison reform so he can get them fine criminals released so he can bust them cheeks. Oh, my God. Hey, man. Meek Mill, you've been catching L's, boy. You've been catching L's. Golly, left and right. Salute to Andrew Schultz for that, though. Going into his hometown and dissing him right there on his own platform. Now, I'm going to play another one of my records off of my latest album, It Was All a Dream. And make sure you check out the merch below the podcast because we got some new merch coming. Fire merch. We're going to have some merch with the new logo also. If y'all can see that, I'm trying to rebrand the show, and the show will be rebranded real good here soon. It'll be rebranded. It'll be a new everything. Thank y'all though, man. And we're going to get into this political conversation. Then I'm gone. Thank y'all.
Niggas didn't want me to blow. It was all a dream for show. Now I'm up and not looking back. Did the racks, now it's deposits. Life is good when you have options. Niggas cap, never been popping. The diamonds ain't real, player, just stop it. All we do is the VV. Shine so bright, the lanes can't see me. Been notorious, no biggie. Did the Louis, now I'm in Poochie. Yo, chick a groupie, act unruly. Niggas goofy, always moody. I'm a dog, call me Scooby. To this gang, you niggas newbies. At Benny's, I just want sushi. Left the streets when shit got spooky. Kept it real, that was my duty. My team keep Drake's, I told the Uzi. Director of my own movie. Make sure the business runs smoothly. Yours truly been evolved. Beef I had won't be resolved.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the conversation about the State of the Union. Before I get into the conversation, I want to say that did y'all notice it was protesters protesting the war, protesting a lot of the things that Biden support before he went to the State of the Union? When he got in the car and was on his way to the State of the Union, it was protesters outside of his home, the White House. I took notes, so if y'all see me looking down, I apologize. But one thing that Biden spoke on was January the 6th. He said, "You can't love your country only when you win." I like that, though, to be honest. Now, me, I've been listening to a lot of political discussions from the right and from the left. And the reason I'm listening to them is because I want to participate, no matter if I like the candidates or not. I want to make a sound decision, because this is a time in the world and in our life where 2/3 of the people of this country are embarrassed with the candidates. Also, he talked about restoring Roe v. Wade and making it the law of the land, of the whole country, not just state to state. This state says you can have it and you can't, but as the law of the whole land. Also, he bragged about 15 million new jobs in 3 years. When I look at inflation, when I look at the current state of the country, what jobs did you create that's beneficial to the people? Did you create jobs that people are making 100,000 plus in? Or did you create jobs where people still make it $10 to $15 an hour? The people should be your main interest. They should be your focus. The people of your country. That's just my perspective. The people that represent you, the people that is going to vote for you, them should be your main interest. Also, he talked about lowering the prices of drugs and America being the country that use drugs the most. What I have to say about that is that America wants you dead. That was a strong statement, but if you overweight, you understand what I'm saying. It's hard for you to get up out of bed. If you're addicted to fast food, you in a drive-thru while you listening to this, are you chomping down on some sort of artificial meal that's not grown from the earth while you're listening to this? You're eating M&M's, or you eating something that is not real from the earth while you're listening to this. You understand that sooner or later you'll be on drugs to preserve your life. You understand when you look at the Super Bowl, when you're watching television, when you are consuming things that is not in your best interest, the commercials that come on after what you're consuming is trying to tell you to go through a drive-thru. It's trying to tell you to go buy a bag of Doritos. It's trying to tell you to go buy a Starry or a Sprite or something that is not good for you. He talked about education, student loans, and giving teachers a raise. But how is he going to do that? And education is interesting to me, because the education that you want us to have versus the education that we need to survive and thrive in this country is not what you're going to give us. You want to control us. You want to control the children. You don't want people to have the education that they need. Banning AI voice recognition. He also talked about that. He also talked about taxes. He talked about a lot of things that was interesting, and it was fast. It was fast. He was getting on topics and he was getting off topics. But we talked about this in this podcast earlier, and we're going to talk about it again. The border.
Stopping there. My administration proposed rules to make cable, travel, utilities, and online ticket sellers tell you the total price up front, so there are no surprises. It matters. It matters. And so does this. In November, my team began serious negotiation with a bipartisan group of senators. The result was a bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so?
Y'all hear the people.
Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. That bipartisan bill would hire 1,500 more security agents and officers, 100 more immigration judges, help tackle the backload of 2 million cases, 4,300 more asylum officers, and new policies so they can resolve cases in 6 months instead of 6 years now.
What was they clapping for? It's simple. Change the laws. Change the laws. Put the military at the border until you create a wall. I don't want to sound like I'm picking a side, but I listen to these things and I'm in tune with politics because I want to understand why we are the divided states of America. I want to understand why we're not united. A lot of people, I could have had any guest on this show talking about the Democratic side or the Republican side. But I'm not picking a side to have people clap for me. I don't care if you clap for me. I don't care if you watch an episode. I don't care if you like what I have to say. At the end of the day, I'm for the people. The United States of America. Not the divided states of America. You can change. You can change that border. You just don't want to because the people who is funding you, the people that is big pharma that's funding you, want them people to come in and work for cheap so they can profit. Now, what interested me about the State of the Union was the intro. I don't got a clip for the intro, but I'm going to talk about it. The intro, he was talking about Ukraine and Russia. As if the American people care about that. The American people want to be safe. The American people want lower interest rates. We want to go to the grocery store and milk not the price that it is. Cheese not the price that it is. Meat. You know I don't consume meat, but salute to the people who do. Meat is not the price that it is. People want to be able to go get a job and it equals up to me being able to have a future, me being able to have a home, me being able to purchase a brand new vehicle, me being able to take my kids through college without having to struggle. That's what the American people want. We don't care about Ukraine and Russia. We don't care about what's going on foreign land. We don't care that y'all are the worldwide police. We don't care that y'all spending $60 million, $60 billion sending it to the other countries when you got people over here starving, when you got the border wide open, when you got people living in projects and struggling and striving. We also care about crime in America. We also want to be protected. I remember when George Floyd got killed. I done mentioned him 3 times in this podcast, and I'm tripping off of this. We remember when George Floyd got killed, and the people said that defund the police. Now y'all want to refund the police because y'all realize without the police, y'all not protected.
Give communities the tool to crack down on gun crime, retail crime, and carjacking. Keep building trust as I've been doing by taking executive action on police reform and calling for it to be the law of the land. directing my cabinet to review the federal classification of marijuana and expunging thousands of convictions for the mere possession, because no one should be jailed for simply using or having on their record. Take on crimes of domestic violence. I'm ramping up the federal enforcement of the Violence Against Women Act that I proudly wrote when I was a senator, so we can finally end the scourge against women in America.
I'm kind of confused, because isn't this the man who wrote that law that imprisoned so many people? The war on drugs law, the cocaine law that imprisoned so many people that look like me. Even though people don't deserve to be in prison for marijuana cases, legalized marijuana, for real, real talk, no cap. We need to quit worrying about the little bitty things because we want to make a profit from it as Americans. We need to modernize this country. But at the end of the day, if I was the president, if I was the leader of the free world, gun laws, y'all would hate me. Y'all would hate me. I know everybody would hate me. I got partners that love their guns. Couldn't have no gun. Couldn't have no gun. Couldn't have no gun. That's how we would profit. If we need a profit, you have a gun, you get caught with a gun, you're done. You're done for. You're getting the maximum. I don't want nobody killing nobody from weapons. I've seen so many people die in my lifetime from getting shot and killed. You wouldn't be able to have a gun. I hate guns. I hate them. Now, I'm going to play this last clip, and I'm going to get up out of here as fast as I can, because we're almost at the hour mark. Now, Biden talks about this, and this is interesting to me, that he prioritized these people over all the other people in the country. Play the clip.
And stop. Stop denying another core value of America, our diversity across American life. Banning books, it's wrong. Instead of erasing history, let's make history. I want to protect fundamental rights. Pass the Equality Act. And my message to transgender Americans, I have your back. Pass the PRO Act for workers' rights.
Why such a minuscule amount of people matters? Transgender Americans, I have your back. Why? Help me understand. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. I appreciate every subscriber. I appreciate everybody who comments, everybody who views the show. Thank you. Peace, love, plenty, abundance. Make sure you go get you some money, and I'm gone.
The Trevor Jackson Podcast.